Christmas won't be Christmas without any presents, grumbled Joe, lying on the rug. It's so dreadful to be poor, sighed Meg, looking down at her old dress, which stretched much tighter over her chest now than when it had been purchased the previous year.
I don't think it's fair for some girls to have plenty of pretty things, and other girls nothing at all, added petite Amy, with an injured sniff, thinking of the wealthy young ladies in her class at school who received pretty baubles from equally wealthy young men.
We've got father and mother and each other, said Beth contentedly from her corner.
The four young faces on which the firelight shone brightened at the cheerful words, but darkened again as Joe said sadly,
We haven't got father, and shall not have him for a long time.
She didn't say perhaps never, but each silently added it, thinking of father far away, where the fighting was. And Joe didn't say that perhaps there was one among their number who wasn't hoping for father's swift return. That very day, not knowing that she was observed by her daughter, Marmy was outside the bakery and pressed tightly against a man's chest in an embrace that lasted much longer than strictly necessary. Joe had quickly dispelled the notion as what her sisters liked to call her flights of fancy. But the image reappeared, unbidden, at odd times. Nobody spoke for a minute. Then Meg pulled herself from thoughts of her ill-fitting gown and said in an altered tone,
You know the reason Mother proposed not having any presents this Christmas was because it was going to be a hard winter for everyone, and she thinks we ought not to spend money for pleasure when our men are suffering so in the army. We can't do much, but we can make our little sacrifices, and ought to do it gladly. But I'm afraid I don't.
And Meg shook her head as she thought regretfully of all the pretty things she wanted. She couldn't help but dream of the latest style of neckline, which would leave little of her charms to the imagination of potential suitors. The previous winter's dalliance with Tom Connor had left Meg in fevered states and hoping to soon repeat the flirtatious acts with a less impoverished and thus more marriageable partner. Tom's strong hands and silky caresses had turned her insides to jelly and left her desperate to fall in love with the right sort. Meg blushed as memories of Tom's warm, pleading breath on her neck came back to her. She turned quickly toward the glowing fire to hide her embarrassment.
But I don't think the little we should spend would do any good. We've each got a dollar, and the army wouldn't be much helped by our giving that.
I agree not to expect anything from Mother or you, but I do want to buy Undine and Sintram for myself.
I've wanted it so long, said Joe, who was a bookworm and preferred reading about love to going after it, as her elder sister did.
I shall get a nice box of Faber's drawing pencils. I really need them, said Amy decidedly, hoping to sketch the beautiful girls and their beaux at school.
Mother didn't say anything about our money, and she won't wish us to give up everything. Let's each buy what we want and have a little fun. I'm sure we work hard enough to earn it, cried Joe, examining the heels of her shoes in a gentlemanly manner.
I know I do, teaching those tiresome children nearly all day when I'm longing to enjoy myself at home, began Meg, in the complaining tone again, stopping herself from adding, or in the park with a man who knows how to treat a lady.
She sighed and once more attempted to clear her thoughts.
You don't have half such a hard time as I do, said Joe. How would you like to be shut up for hours with a nervous, fussy old lady who keeps you trotting, is never satisfied, and worries you till you're ready to fly out the window or cry?
I don't believe any of you suffer as I do, cried Amy. For you don't have to go to school with impertinent girls who plague you if you don't know your lessons and laugh at your dresses and label your father if he isn't rich and insult you when your nose isn't nice.